So we live in a material world. Of course we live in a material world. The whole world is material. We came here to experience it, to experience this material world. We didn't come here to experience spirituality. We are spiritual beings. Now I'm going to tell you a wild story. You don't need to believe this. It doesn't really matter. It serves as a good example, though. I met some beings that came here on a visit. They come from a realm that's not material. That's the only way I can explain it, because I couldn't really understand fully where they come from. But they were amazed at everything here. They loved this material stuff. They saw somebody whipping by on water skis and they went, wow. And I'm using my own words now, but it doesn't really matter. They thought that was fascinating to skimp across this liquidy moving surface and jump into the air and down and up and sitting in this thing that's shooting across. Then they look up in the air and they see this plane. And they go, wow, what is that? Can they see us from up there? All kinds of things. Everything looked fascinating to them. They said, we've got to get one of those. We've got to get one of those. We've got to get one of those. A couple of those. 10 of those. Some of those. And I says, where are you going to put all that? And they look, well, where do you put it all? And I says, well, I guess you can get a garage. They said, well, get one of those. The thing is, I said to them, well, we're trying to be less material. And I said, less material. Yes, I said, yes, less of this material, you know, all these things. We're trying to be more spiritual. Spiritual. Yes, spiritual. Closer to God. And he looked at me and said, closer to God. He says, yes, less material things, closer to God, sort of thing. And he looked at me and said, this is God. These things are God. What are you talking about? You want less of God? No, spiritual. This is God. This, as we understand from what you're saying, spiritual, is as spiritual as you can get. This is where I understood that we came into this material realm to experience these material things. Now, if for some reason you prefer to sit under a tree and contemplate some spiritual essence of something, perhaps contemplate your soul, that's fine. Sitting under a tree day after day, contemplating your soul, is exactly the same as staring in the mirror 24 hours a day, looking at yourself. What would someone say to that? You're a little bit vain? Well, contemplating your soul is the same thing. You come here to contemplate your soul. If you want to contemplate your soul, you should have stayed where you are, where we were, because there we are what we are. We came here to experience this fantastic 3D realm, just like we play games on the computer. But here we can touch things. We can actually zip across the water and feel that water spraying against us. If you want to miss all that, well, that's fine. What's going to happen when you go back and others ask you what you experienced here in life? And you tell them, well, I didn't, I was contemplating my soul, you will be the fool. And you will go to the back of the line as far as coming back. Because there's a lineup to come to this 3D realm. A huge lineup. If you just want to come here to pick your nose, well, that's your choice. But you're here to experience. And so, choose the very most joyful experiences you can. Bring them already about by envisioning them as if you already have them. And that's where it starts. And so we bring them around. We have sometimes a lot of issues of material things. You see, in the past, I thought too much material stuff, that's not good for you, you know? It's bad, it's evil, it's just not spiritual. How in the heck is a material thing not spiritual? It's made of the same energy that is everything. It's made of love. We came here to experience it. We came here to experience walking in the woods, riding a bike, blowing a kite in the sky, maybe flying, driving a car, feeling the sun, tasting the rain. All of this we came to experience as much as possible. That's why we're here. And through our appreciation of all these material things, we radiate out love. And we flow out love. And the whole place begins to glow even more with love. See, these things are important. They're here for our experience and our joy. Somewhere along the line, some of us just got twisted around and we put these strange meanings on things. The designer who loves to create beautiful cars, like let's say a Mercedes, a BMW, a Jag, or whatever, they need people with beautiful visions of abundance and of joy, of wanting to have and experience these things. Of course. Otherwise, it all becomes useless. And it all becomes meaningless experiences. And the experiences diminish. If we're not allowed to have these material things, then what am I doing here? Sitting here contemplating my soul, contemplating God, I can do that where I came from. I don't need to come here to do that. Then coming here is totally useless. It's like going to another country and going to the restaurants of the same country that you came from. So let's say you're Canadian, you go to France. Well, you want to go to some French restaurants, taste some French food, see some French buildings, talk to some French people, investigate French landscape. You didn't go there to go to a Canadian restaurant. Well, that's kind of silly. You might as well stay where you are. You went there for the experience and to experience what's there. Now, if the French take away all their material possessions, you can go there. I don't know what you'll see. Not much. Yeah. I'm not saying that, let's say, the Tibetans who choose not to have material things are not doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing for them. If they want to live in a little cold brick stone 4x4 hut freezing their asses off, that's fine. Hey, go for it. Knock yourself out. Have a good time. Do it for 80 years. Get in there and really get the hang of sitting your cold butt on that cold stone, eating cold, crappy porridge, and humming. 80 years of that, you'll get really good at it. You'll probably get so good at it, you'll love sitting your ass down on a cold piece of stone. Well, I'll tell you what I love. I love sitting in my hot tub having a nice cappuccino. That's what I love. And I like it. And I've tried the little, you know, sitting in a little cave, my ass on a cold stone. I've tried it. But you know, I don't think I want to do it for another 40 years. Nah. I don't think so. I think I'm looking for more fun, a little bit more joy. I want my whole heart to open and the joy to burst out like a volcano. And I just don't see that happening in a little stone cave, in a little bowl of porridge, with my ass on cold stone barefoot. I don't quite see that happening. But hey, if you see that happening for yourself, knock yourself out. And if you don't want that material stuff anymore, if you want to get rid of it, I'll tell you what, I have a little building, just send it to me, I'll put it all in there and I'll play with it. And other people want to come play with it, I'll let them play with it too. Works out perfectly for both of us. So now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of material stuff. We've learned now, through the process, to control and direct our feelings, because we've experienced what it's like having 3.6 million, the confidence, the happiness, and all the wonderful feelings that come with that without actually having it yet. So we were in control of how we felt. We've learned now to be in control and to direct our feelings instead of letting the world around us direct our feelings. See, sometimes it's okay to let certain things direct our feelings. Like when I watch a movie, I allow the movie to control my feelings a little bit, to a certain extent, because it allows me to experience the movie. But I don't allow the news media to do that. Matter of fact, I turn them right off. They have no interest to me. They're living in a pretty sick and sad world, and I just as soon let them live in theirs and live the hermit live in his cave, and everything is fine. So I don't like them controlling my feelings. I don't like them giving me feelings that I should be afraid. I should worry about unemployment, not enough jobs, and all kinds of negative things. I choose to direct my feelings, and we've now learned that we can do that. And by that, open our heart center and radiate love, and sending that signal to the universe and having the universe create it for us. The second thing we learned is that we can love anything and everything, and feel love even for material things, which maybe some of us, we were taught that that was wrong. Loving material things. Well, those material things are made from love, from the Creator. So, and as those strange friends that I mentioned, acquaintances, whatever you want to call them, said, this is God. This is spiritual. That's exactly right. We can love this material stuff. Why not love the cappuccino I'm drinking right now? Why not love the cup that holds it so dearly and keeps it safe till I get it down my lips or down my throat, whatever, past my lips, down my throat? As we expand that love out, we fill these things with love and we begin to maintain the material structure of the things. You notice that in life, material things seem to degrade. That's not a design of life. That's what we've created with our own thoughts and radiation from ourselves. We've learned that we can direct our emotions and feelings and our love. In other words, that power that creates all of it, we can direct it. So we create a car with wonderful feelings and with love. So now this car material thing is created for us, brought to us by the universe, and it's filled with love because we've done those two things. Now as we maintain that vision, that vehicle is maintained in that condition. Because in our minds, we maintain it in that. If we then begin to become fearful, oh, someone might scratch it, dirt will stick to it, the motor will get old if I don't change the oil right away, and all these negative things that we've learned to associate with it, well, then we begin to create that. Because we send that signal to the universe, and the universe says, your command will be done. See, in a sense, we, while we're here, control, direct the creation. We still receive the inspiration from our higher self, from our soul, from all that is. It filters to us as an inspiration. We say, that's my inspiration, but where did it really come from? We'll leave that for another day. It's up to you to decide where that inspiration comes from. But we receive the inspiration. We begin to experience in our minds and our hearts what it's like to have that. And then the universe sets about all the circumstances, the events, the people, everything that needs to come together for us to receive that. Then we experience it some more, and we also fill it with love. And it becomes a part of this ever-expanding universe. That's the beauty of it. So in the next couple of chapters, we're going to talk about using the methods that we just went through with the 3.6 million, and we're going to use that same method for material things. But there's a certain category in the way we do this. And it's quite nifty because it doesn't change anything in our lives. So the way we do this, it doesn't affect our resistance as much. It's a really nifty way where we can experience great abundance of things without being obsessive about them. See, unfortunately, the issue comes with things, material things, when we get obsessive about them. And if something goes wrong, we have something nice and it gets scratched or whatever, then we get all freaked out, we get mad at someone. What the heck for? It's just a material thing. We can have more of them. Hundreds, thousands, as much as we want. It doesn't matter when something goes wrong with it. We just need to realize that somehow we created that. We're responsible for what went wrong with it, not the other person. Once we realize that, we can stop becoming obsessive with material things. And we can love them unconditionally. In other words, letting them go, letting them come in, letting them go. In other words, you have a material thing. When you no longer use it, you just give it away. See, I have many material things. And when I choose not to have it anymore, I give it away. I could sell it, go through that hassle, but mostly I just give it away to someone who will enjoy this particular material thing. And I always find someone. Someone comes along at the right time. But the time I'm looking, saying, oh, it's time for you to move on to a new lover. Someone who will love you the way I loved you. And someone comes along, and next thing I know, someone's staring at this thing and going, wow, this is neat. Like, oh, do you like it? Oh, absolutely. This is the fantastic. This would be perfect. This would be perfect for me. Really? Yes. Well, then have it. There you go. It's yours. See, I created it with love. I envisioned it with joy and happiness. Had the wonderful experiences. And now I pass them on to someone else. And this happens to me. Many times I receive a material thing from someone else that has had it and had great joy with it. And I say to him, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to have something like that to experience it. Well, here you go. Take this one. I go, really? Are you sure? Yes, take it. You see, that's how we pass the love along. Love isn't just something we send. Love is something we also create with. And then, it being an object, we pass it along. it's filled with love because we created it that way. We pass it on. We pass all that love that's been created with on to the next person. As we create things more and more with love, each item will glow more and more with love, will radiate more and more with love, will bring more joy. Two gifts in a box, identical. One was created with pure joy and love, and it's filled with love and radiating with love. That object will bring that person much more love, much more joy than the other object that is identical, that is not filled with love. That simple. If you can't understand that simple concept, then you best go right back to the beginning and start again. See, that's the point. As we go on, we get this whole creating process in gear. You can see what's happening towards a little while down the road. Everything becomes filled with more and more love, more and more joy. Everything becomes created with more joy, more love. There's more abundance, there is more of everything. And we begin to do more things because of joy, because we want to, because of love, not because we have to, not because we need to, not because we'll get fired or yelled at, just because we want to. The person who's painting wants to paint, not because they've got a salad to feed themselves at the end of the day and pay their rent. They do it because they really want to do it, and they do it with pure love, and I can guarantee you that that painting will be better than any painting that you could ever paint under the expression of need. So that's what happens when we allow the universe to flow through us freely and just give us everything we want. That's what happens, not the opposite. Abundance doesn't create chaos and stupidity and arrogance and greediness. That all comes about from lack, not from abundance. You've probably been taught and learnt and believed that these ugly things come from abundance and wealth. They don't. They come from lack of it and a fear of losing it. That's the truth. And we know that. If we think about it for a bit, we know that. Abundance is a wonderful thing. Prosperity is a wonderful thing. It brings with it enormous happiness, enormous joyful experiences. So, by now you either believe or you don't. You've chosen to believe what you want to believe, and whatever that is, I'm sure it's fine for you. This is the direction I'm going, and this is what I want to experience. What you choose for yourself, that's your choice. In the next recordings, the next chapters, we're going to talk about how to create this material stuff.